Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Back goes Mahomes. He fires. It's intercepted on a deflection. There's the turnover. Intercepted by Makuba. Down the far sideline he goes, all the way across the 40. There is the interception that could change this game dramatically.
Well, a huge play in the game. Frankly, the biggest. Hard to talk over Lay Down Sally. I mean, it's Lay Down Patrick. Man, he doesn't have much around him. Holy mackerel. All right, hope you're having a great start to your Monday morning. We got a 2-0 football team. By the way, that's a shame about Joe Burrow. But
it's the Bengals' fault.
He gets in the bad line.
That line has been bottom in the league the entire time he's been in the league.
You could see it clearly last year when the Eagles played him.
It's unbelievable.
Horrendous line.
And a bad defense last year, too.
Now this is grade 3.
It's a shame. I mean, he's a great quarterback. It's
turf toe.
He's getting hurt a lot.
Ligament.
Getting hurt a lot. All right, let's welcome in. Speaking of, you were talking about Makuba earlier, a player that certainly has a knack for the ball. Well, we talked earlier about Seth Joyner had a knack for the football. When I think of Eagles defenders in my lifetime, that had a knack for the ball, I think first and foremost of Seth Joyner, William Thomas, and Brian Dawkins. Those three really brought it. Seth with us every Monday in studio for an entire hour and presented by the wonderful people at Bradford White Water Heaters. How you heat your water matters. So whether it's a tank or tankless model, choose Bradford White. Visit bradfordwhite.com. Good morning, Seth.
What up?
How are you, pal?
Good, man.
Okay.
Good.
How do you feel? How do you feel?
I feel good, man. Eagles are 2-0. Through this mini preseason, so it's all good, man.
You think that's a lot of what it is, getting the kinks out?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, nobody's lighting it up. I mean, when you look around the rest of the league, the rest of the league is struggling.
The Lions lit it up yesterday.
Well, they laid a dud week one.
They did week one.
Yeah, they did.
So here
they
we
stunk.
Go. You know, this is how the first 4 weeks normally look. You may look outstanding 1 week, and you may – you know, look terrible the following week or vice versa. So it just is what it is.
Joe's convinced that Kansas City stinks.
Not
and
stinks.
Won't make the playoffs.
Not stinks, but isn't very good and
I
won't make the playoffs.
I contend that they are a better team, that defense, the Kansas City defense, is what created problems for the most part yesterday for our offense. They did a good job defensively. Kansas City did, didn't they, Seth?
They could be on the verge of the dynasty beginning to crack. Because for some reason or another, similar to Cincinnati and Rhea's point with Cincinnati, they can't figure out their offensive line situation. And they've traded, they've used draft capital, you name it. And they just cannot seem to, remedy the situation. So, you know, people talk about Jalen and, you know, his inability to do this and the players that are around him. You know, I would say, you know, you can't fault Jalen for having the best GM in the National Football League for putting the players and the supporting cast around him so that he can be successful. Now, Mahomes has had to do a lot of it on his own, but I'm of the opinion that that's kind of fallen by the wayside. You know, and he's got some injuries. But the kind of pressure that the Eagles put on him in the Super Bowl and the kind of pressure they put on him in the first half of last week, I don't think it would have mattered that Rashee Rice and Worthy would have been present yesterday. It wouldn't have mattered.
Yeah, Mahomes is fighting two fights, in my opinion, right now. One, his team with less around and what he can do this year. But he's in that Brady-Montana thing, that conversation. And the last three games – well, two of the last three games he's played has not looked good for him on that conversation.
No,
long way to go, but I'm just saying.
Never seen him look as bad as he looked yesterday, especially in the first half.
Yeah.
Because they brought some pressure, and, you know, you guys hear me say it all the time, and I tweet it when I saw it. I mean, you know, Vic Fangio was out of his mind yesterday in the first half.
Had to make you proud, man.
They came after him 19% of the time. I think like 5 out of 7 plays in a row, they came after him.
And they were dogging the backers. I mean, like now we just have so much skill and speed at inside linebacker. It just feels like we can send them from depth and you know, like one goes and the other one can man up on Travis Kelce. You know, what a gift.
Yeah.
Can do stuff like that.
But that's why, I've been saying for years, I'm like, you can't ignore that position because it's so critical, especially in today's game.
Yeah.
You know, in today's game, you are only playing with two. And depending on down and distance and, you know, what the data says, you know, sometimes you're only playing with one.
But I don't ever want to play with just one because our two are so phenomenal and the way that they're just going to continue to improve together.
See, and they both can cover tight ends. So if you want to save the safety or you want to save your slot guy, you don't necessarily have to put him, you know, in that in that situation.
With linebacker.
Yeah.
This is not normal can use your inside linebackers for coverage purposes.
Yeah.
These guys can cover the whole field. Yesterday, there were a few plays. What's that?
And blitz.
Yes. They'll blitz. I mean, Jihad was stemming up to the edge of the line of scrimmage sometimes, so you were seeing like some inkling of what that could look like. But, man, there were a few times where the depth that he got on his drop in terms of, like, I'm just saying, it felt like he was 50 yards downfield in the blink of an eye. I mean,
what Urlacher used to do.
Yeah.
Urlacher would do that a lot.
Even faster. I mean, I'm telling you, Urlacher, man, he was a monster. No question.
Yeah.
But this is even more special than that.
Let me ask you this question, then we'll get to the calls. I want to get a lot of calls here. Before the season started, I was concerned that the Eagles' defense might become average because of losing the 5 or 6 players from last year. I knew they still had their 4 best in Carter, Dejean, Quinyon, and Bond. But I thought they lost like a bunch of other dudes. And I thought, they could become average. Do you feel confident, barring injury, that they are very good defensively?
Well, first of all, I wasn't concerned.
Nor I.
You know, I think you have to look at the players and where they were in their careers to understand what they lost and what the level of concern really would be. Would we have loved to have kept, you know, Milton Williams and C.J. Gardner-Johnson? Absolutely. You know, but when the Eagles made the decision to go young, like, I wasn't worrying about losing Slay. I think the bigger mistake was letting Isaiah Rodgers walk away, you know, and hoping that Kelee Ringo and Eli Ricks could take the step to the next level.
And that is still the biggest concern. That spot is clearly.
Absolutely. Because they let the wrong guy out of the building, in my opinion. I thought all along that the succession would be to Isaiah Rodgers, and they let him walk away, and he went to Minnesota, got a $10 million deal. I'm like, well, you could have gave him that to keep him here, I think.
Right.
You know, Josh Sweat was a 7-8 on average a year. You know, that's replaceable.
Made a play yesterday, Josh Sweat did.
And then you had
a fumble.
Then you had
BG and Milton, you had Sweat, Slay, CJ, you know, GJ.
BG was already a role player at the time. So really the only, you know, the big question was, can you replace Milton's production? And even at that, I believe he only gave you 5 sacks last year.
Yeah.
He just blew up at the right time and had a big game at the right time, and they weren't going to pay, you know, with somebody $100-plus million for a defensive tackle. So I wasn't concerned. The concern was, you know, could we fill those voids? And I think that I think the answer is yes.
I am highly encouraged with what I'm seeing defensively.
I think
it's really impressive because this is the opposite of what happened in 23.
Just wait till they start
23,
getting,
they didn't replace well. It looks like they did this time.
Remember talking about, hey, just wait until they get more complex. Wait until they upgrade and start doing things that make it harder on offenses to conceptualize what they're looking at. Just wait until they start stemming right before, like,
shifting right before the snap like they did yesterday with Jihad. It really messes with offenses when they have to try to figure out who's who and who they're blocking. Last year, it was pretty streamlined. Our defense was pretty straight.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Forward, we start mixing it up and adding this new dimension of difficulty, so to speak, we're that much better.
I think there's even more in Vic's bag of tricks that he has, because you know what I haven't seen yet? I haven't seen the give him a look over here and drop out and play zone behind it and bring the pressure, because you forced them to adjust their protection. So it looks like we're coming over here, yeah, and then we drop out, and we got the protection to slide left, and then we come off the other side.
Yeah, like a Cooper Dejean blitz.
Yeah,
devastating.
And I guess, you know, when you do what you did with two rookies last year, and then you come back and you followed up and you got two more new rookies this year, you know, they must be drafting some highly intelligent players to be able to do so.
Yeah, you know, this might be the greatest run of Eagles first and second round draft picks ever. It might be. Ever since they messed up the Rager Justin Jefferson thing, mm-hmm, from 2020, well, second round pick big on, from Hurts, help me out, James, Hurts, Devontae Dickerson, 22 was
Cam in the second round. Who was in the first
and
round?
And the A.J. trade. Well, they traded
A.J. trade and Jordan Davis. That's what. Jordan Davis, yeah. A.J. trade. Then right. The next year is Jalen Carter, Nolan Smith. Jalen Hunt was the third round, right? And then last year, Campbell and Makubo, early returns are great.
And then Quinyon and Cooper. Yep. I mean, that's
an entire defense.
I mean, that is really something. All right, but let's
Jeff,
know what
Jalen playing well? Like, is Jalen Hunt playing up to your expectations to be out there starting?
Listen, it's early, and I think that he'll get there. It's an experience thing. At the same time, I thought he was coming on towards the end of the year. That's why they were comfortable with doing what they did. But I think when you turn around and you bring in Za'Darius Smith, that kind of speaks volumes too.
And I agree.
And
he's good.
I like that move. I like that move because when you look at Hunt, Uche, and Nolan Smith, they all look like the same type of players, you know. And everybody calls them outside linebackers. When you're playing a four-man line, guess what you are? If you're one of those down guys, you're a defensive end. But when they bring in Za'Darius Smith, now, in my opinion, they have a true defensive end.
Like a 4-3 defensive end.
You need 270 guys. You need that size.
Yep.
You know, because that's kind of what Josh Sweat was. Those other three guys, you can line them up in the five-man front and drop them if you want to.
Yep.
But you're not dropping Za'Darius Smith. He's either going to be playing the run or he's going to be rushing the passer. So you have more of a traditional style defensive end, and I felt like that's what that's what they were missing.
All right, let's get some calls in here. Seth with us for an entire hour. Let's get to John and Manayunk. John, good morning, buddy.
What up, fellas? Seth, hey, love you on the show, man. I love your analysis, dude. You're the man. I actually had your action figure back in the 90s.
You had to play with that. That's so cool.
Thanks, man. Yeah,
I had Seth's haircut back in the 90s. No, I didn't have that.
I actually lost the helmet to the action figure, too, so you were always fighting my other action figures without a helmet on, so you were extra tough.
Even tougher. Wow.
Yeah, man. No, real quick, you know what? Like, everything makes sense so far where, you know, everyone said they're going to have the Super Bowl hangover, and they do a little bit. You can tell with the sloppy play, especially in the offense, but they also said that they were doing tons of countermeasures to not let that affect them, and I think you see that with the 2-0. And they were sloppy wins, but they still won. And
so I don't think it's Super Bowl hangover at all, John. I really don't. Here's what I think it more is. People got so fixated on how they finished the season offensively passing the ball in the last two games, and I think a lot of people forgot what it was for 15 to 18 games. I think they're just kind of back to that. Mm-hmm. That to me is more what it is.
I was kind of surprised, thinking that, you know what, you know, Saquon had so many yardage on him, they're gonna be doing a lot more airing the ball out. But you know what? They're keeping to the same tempo that they won the Super Bowl with. They're pounding the rock.
Pretty
they're
much.
Winning games,
yeah, exactly.
And they're winning with defense. And yeah. I'll tell you what, like you said, obviously they had to pick. Zach Bond had a killer play. DeJean had an open field tackle that was just excellent yesterday. They looked sharp. They had a couple of field goals that were solid. Like they just look like the Super Bowl reigning champs. And the pressure's off somewhat because you just won, and it's going to be a fun year for us to watch. And I just couldn't be more thrilled. And the Phillies are on. It's Monday, but we got Seth on, and we're 2-0, baby. So,
you got
great
it.
Great show, and that's all I got, man. I
John,
love you
appreciate it, buddy. Let's listen to Jalen after the game, spreading a lot of praise around to a lot of people, different parts of the team. Here's Jalen Hurts postgame.
We showed up when we needed to the most, and that's the most important thing in this league is finding ways to win. Jake Elliott showing up and making a big-time kick before half. And earlier in the game as well, defense showing up and getting a turnover when it was needed. You know, and we know how important the turnover battle is. Being able to play turnover-free football, in a sense, that helps as well. And showing up when the moment requires someone to show up. And hell of a play by Smitty. Same play he made 2 years ago, same part of the field. Other one ended in a score. I just think overall everybody's staying within themselves and finding a way to win is something that – it's something that you have to take pride in. Take pride in finding a way. Take pride in winning one, and take pride in what is required of you to win. And I think as a team, you know, defensively they play lights out. Offensively, we showed up when we needed to. 2-6, showed up when we needed him to, and we just want to continue to build.
He does strike me as more comfortable this year with the microphone and just the way he presents.
100%.
Right? He just sounds.
Oh yeah.
Sounds
he doesn't
he
sound like a robot. I think he worked on it because he works on everything that is a
I agree with that.
You know, he's not good at. He works
yeah,
at it.
I agree.
Hey, Seth,
what do you,
the question? The end of the game when they came back, Tyquan Thornton, that touchdown where Quinion was, it looked like he was beaten in the end zone for the big play. I just wondered, you know exactly how everything fits together on the back end. It looked like Reed Blankenship jumped the underneath, but I wanted to know what you thought.
Well,
first of all,
I don't understand why they weren't in too high safety anyway. They really should have been in a quarters coverage look. And if they were in quarters, where was the safety on the other side? Because if they have that dig route and that's his job to drive it, then that means that opposite side safety has to get back over top on the other side if he has no vertical threat.
So you think maybe it was a combination coverage that wasn't communicated properly on the other side and it hung Quinion out
to
dry?
I sound like Nick Sirianni. I got to see the film in order.
Yeah. No, you do, though. I mean, right now
there's no, like, all 22, so yeah. It's like, oh, man, I can't see that guy.
7:25 tomorrow, Jaws will be with us. He'll have broken it down by then. And,
I got to see the film to actually see where they started off, you know, coverage-wise, because it looked like Reed jumped that route, that underneath route, that crossing route really quick,
hard, you know, and inexplicably, and all in.
Yeah,
Looked like Quinion was expecting that Reed would be there.
I don't think it was Quinion's fault. That was my sense.
I thought
he did a hell of a job getting back to where he got to. Yeah. Yeah. All right, let's go to OG Wade. Wade, what up, buddy?
What's up, fellas? How we doing today?
Doing great,
OG?
Wade.
SJ, I should say.
What's that?
Hey, let me say this here to you, Joe. Where did you get that spray paint from?
Wait, where did I get what from?
That blue paint that you sprayed on your ankle.
What do you think? I'm Curt Schilling with the bloody sock that's ketchup?
Yeah.
No, yo, I fell on a dude's foot, man. I'm playing hoops.
You're so athletic, your ankle won't even sprain.
Let me tell you something, man. After I'm done with Fritz, I'll kick your ass in basketball. If that's what it takes to prove it, I'll do it. I'm like Jalen. I'll do whatever it takes to get the W. All right?
There you go. Let me address this idiot, Chuck from Mount Airy. I mean, this guy is... He just keep on uncovering his lack of knowledge of the game.
Uh-oh.
You got to understand that what the Chargers did to the Kansas City Chiefs deep offense or defense, it's not the same. We don't run the same offense as the Chargers run. So Jalen's not going to throw for 300 yards against Kansas City. I don't even know if we all realize what just happened yesterday. Kansas City came into this game having to win this game, needing to win this game. Everything, all the chips on the board. This is for their playoff life. And we beat them. You know how hard that is to beat a team that's, number one, coming in with a revenge factor. Sure. And now you got their back up against the wall. Everybody says Patrick Mahomes is the greatest thing since sliced bread.
He is.
So you got all of these things working against
except for one big thing, Wade. I don't think they're that good anymore. I'm telling you, I think to the Golden State Warriors the last 3 years, who also got to 5 or 6 championship rounds, won 3 of them, had either the best or one of the 2 best players in the world, with second best, he was behind LeBron. And then, like, everything crumbled, and it was just like Steph and everybody else. Like, just
that's what
this team reminds me of now.
I don't want you to underestimate the greatness of Kansas City. Kansas City, for the last 3 years, has been a defensive team.
Yeah.
We just never gave them the credit. We all given Patrick Mahomes this credit. If you look at the team as a whole, Kansas City has been a defensive team. Jalen Hurts is going up against the greatest defensive coordinator in all of football, in the history of the NFL, okay? And he continues to win.
But he's up there. I get your – listen, Wade, I get it. I got you. All right, listen, Wade, call us back later this week when we got more time.
First and 10, ball on the 13. Barkley back in. Motion to the far side. This time it goes to Barkley. Across the 10, 5, touchdown, Saquon Barkley.
They cleared the lane.
Well, Saquon, you know, didn't have a monster game yesterday, but 2 really good runs that were key. The touchdown and the run in the fourth quarter that helped put stuff away. All right, let's get to the 2 Twitter poll questions of the day. Both are brought to us by Armin Chevrolet. Do more and get more. 2026 Armin Chevrolet Trailblazer starting at only $24,495. Together, let's drive. See Armin's inventory at ArminChevy.com. First poll question, are you concerned about the Eagles' passing game? John, more are than are not. 59% are concerned, 41% are not. I'm sure we'll talk more about that tomorrow. Second poll question, are the Chiefs going to make the playoffs? I was trying to arrive at a sort of a way to assess the quality of the win. Seth, are the Chiefs going to make the playoffs in your opinion?
No, I think the San Diego, LA Chargers are probably going to be the new kings of that division.
By the way, how about the? I didn't even realize till yesterday in a pregame, the coaches in that division, Andy Reid, Pete Carroll.
You didn't realize this?
Harbaugh, oh yeah, and it's
Peyton, Sean Payton,
and Sean Payton.
Yeah,
they've all won titles.
Denver Broncos, yeah, they had a chance this year.
That's incredible.
I think it's the first division ever to have all 4 coaches who have gone to the Super Bowl.
That is unbelievable.
I think the Broncos are experiencing some quarterback issues.
Oh, you don't think he's that good?
I mean, you know, listen.
He's growing.
It's kind of like.
With pains.
It's kind of like, you know, these young quarterbacks, they come in and they have a couple of good games and everybody wants to crown them as the next coming. You know, Jaden Daniels, the same thing.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, he didn't look overly
hurt
impressive.
Already.
It's 2 steps forward and 1 step back.
I mean, you know, it's like, oh, you know, he's the best quarterback in the NFC East. Man, please. Okay? He played 1 season.
Mm-hmm.
You just never know how a quarterback is going to progress over, until he's given you proof that this is who he is, you know, on a regular basis.
Well, let's get to the Jalen thing. So let me just run out the poll question. Are they going to make the playoffs? 72% say KC will. So we'll know that over the next 3 to 4 months. All right, Seth, what'd you make of Jalen yesterday, Jalen AJ, you know, 101 yards passing, the W? What do you make of it?
I think that people are making way too much of the passing game than it needs to be.
Me too. We know if need be, they could go get it.
I think there's a couple of things that you have to consider. The Eagles won the Super Bowl last year, and the Kansas City Chiefs said, you're not going to win it with Saquon Barkley. Jalen Hurts is going to have to win this game offensively on his arm. And he proved to everybody that he could do that.
Absolutely.
You know, by winning the Super Bowl MVP. So in the offseason, you had 30 other teams that had 5 months to break this offense down, decipher every little iota about it.
And you better believe that's the focus. That is absolutely the biggest focus of every team.
And what I say all the time is that, you know, every year is different, and it has its own challenges. Like during Jalen's presser last night, he's like, you know, we're still trying to figure out what our identity is.
Yeah.
And you would think to yourself, fool, your identity is run the ball with Saquon, go play action, get your wide receivers, you know, involved. But that's not necessarily what it is, because every year it changes. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm, I do. Yeah.
So they are trying to figure out what their identity is going to be, because teams have made a concerted effort to load the box, get Saquon under control, okay, get them in second and third and long situation, and then come with the blitz. And the Eagles, you know, I think Jalen did a good job of seeing it and making adjustments.
And not getting sacked.
But I still have a problem, John, with the fact that they don't have side adjustments and hot routes built into their offense, and you're asking your quarterback to throw off his back foot when they come with zero blitz, instead of having someone breaking across the middle of the field and in zone coverage, being able to layer your routes, okay? And I thought it was pretty darn prophetic yesterday when Tom had that overhead view during the game, and he goes, nothing here, nothing here, nothing here, nothing here.
Yeah.
And he showed that there nobody was open.
Yeah.
You know?
They can do so much more, and I just wonder, I wonder why it's as basic as it is. And I know part of it is it was streamlined on the road, mm-hmm. in the noise. That's very real. That's part of why it looked the way it did yesterday. But also,
But I'm going to be watching it over time, John.
It can be more creative.
Because these are the two things. You have to have these side adjustments built into your offense.
I wish.
If teams are going to play as much zone as they've seen over the first two games, then your routes have to be layered. You can't have all four of your receivers in the route, okay, running routes at 10 to 12 yards. Like, somebody's got to run a route at 20. Somebody's got to run a route at 12. Somebody's got to run a route at 10. And somebody's got to be coming across the field at 5 or 6.
Instead of what we have now, which is he's singling, okay, which side am I going to?
Vertical snap.
I like this matchup better than this matchup, so I'm going to just put it up there for either AJ or Devontae.
Yeah, but if when...
But there's a lot more to it. Everyone else has routes.
I kept saying, you know, that it was so revealing. That shot, if you go back and you look at what Tom Brady was talking about, how nobody was open, it was almost like all four of the receivers were on the same level, and they were running their routes to spots in the zone rather than, you know, they were almost zone matches.
So let me just – well, that's the thing. Hold on, guys know where those spots are. Like an experienced defender, they understand, okay, here's this route. I know what's going to appropriately.
What you're doing – one sec, Joe, and I'm going to give it to you. What they're doing is you're dropping to a landmark. And when the receiver gets in your area, realizing that you can only have one receiver in for spacing purposes, you're only going to have one receiver in your – area. Like, if I'm a hook dropper, I'm dropping right outside the numbers. When a guy gets in my area, now I'm going to match up on him. Mm-hmm. And this is what you're getting when you only get four guys in a route and you're four under coverage.
And they're plastered.
Exactly. So Jalen doesn't have anywhere to go with the ball.
Yeah. So Seth, just quick translation. Sounds like you're saying yesterday, offensive passing struggles, you blame the offensive coordinator much more than Jalen. Is that a fair assessment?
Well, it's right there. You could see it.
Yeah, that's what I thought. I just make sure.
I mean, what I'm calling for and what I'm saying is I would like to see a little more creativity. You know, and not only does every other offense have sight adjustments built into, you know, their offense. And sometimes, you know, I wonder, do they have it? And sometimes when I see AJ on the slant, I'm asking myself, was that the slight adjustment? Uh-huh. I mean, the sight adjustment.
Right.
You know, but sometimes when I'm seeing the blitz, there's no side adjustments to the blitz. And my thing in zone, because they're seeing so much of it, because, listen, teams are not going to play man-to-man against this offense because they're not – for one, you got matchup problems across the board with all of the wide receivers and the tight end, okay? Second of all, where do you get hurt worse when you're in man coverage? with a scrambling quarterback.
Sure.
Okay? So they're not going to give Jalen the opportunity like he did, you know.
Yeah.
You understand?
I do.
They want to keep.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Keep eyes on him and keep him in the pocket. So every other offense has an outlet. Quarterback drops back. He looks at read one, read two. Now I gotta get the ball out of my hand. Oh, I got Saquon sitting down right in front of me. I got Saquon, you know, on a flare route. Okay. I got Saquon on a F under as far as, you know, the because they're playing from deep to short. And if you're playing from deep to short, that means that something is there.
Uh-huh. Because they're dropping.
From five to six yards, yeah. And we're not taking advantage of it.
So here's the chance to drop here's, to 12 yards,
here's the
and
kid.
We're at six.
I got you.
Can throw it and then gain four more for a first down.
James, here's the key for John tonight. He's got to find a way to craft questions for Sirianni tomorrow at 8:40 on this topic that Nick will – actually sort of answer without giving away the scheme
Philadelphia. Pal.
John, that's your assignment. Mm-hmm. How can you take the last 5 minutes and come up with the questions that he won't like? I'm not talking scheme. Because, you know, he doesn't want to give stuff away.
Well,
anyway,
you don't have to talk scheme.
Well, you know what I'm saying. I mean, he's very good at saying, I don't want to give things away.
You don't have to give things away. Like, if I was questioning him, I'm like, you know, Coach, do you have sight adjustments? You have sight adjustments.
He'll say yes.
I've asked him.
Trust me.
Why does it look like there are no sight adjustments? Or, you know, when do we see the sight adjustments? And he says,
how
we
come?
Have those in our offense. Okay, and I'm saying, I've never seen them.
Well, listen. My question would be, okay, I watch all the film. I'm not saying I watch as much film as you because I don't get paid, you know, $20 million to do it,
right.
Okay? But I watch a lot of film. I don't see any side adjustments. Can you give me an instance
have
in the last...
Have side adjustments changed?
In the last...
Have two, the follow-up two, ready, John. Yeah. The key is the follow-up. You ask the question, he gives the answer, then the follow-up.
Yes. And then the other one is, okay, what's your philosophy? Schematically, well, man, he can't use that because he'll poo-poo it if you use the word schematic. What's your philosophy against zero blitz? Because when they come with zero blitz, the mentality is go deep. Mm-hmm. And my thing is against zero blitz, the middle of the field is wide open.
Sure.
So why don't you?
And you can
get the ball out
even faster.
I'm like, I would check if I'm the quarterback. I'm going to check, and I'm going to get, you know, the slot receiver and the outside receiver in a situation where I can get a pick. Where one guy is picking right now into the middle of the field. Because if he catches that ball, it's a touchdown. Don't stay two by two and out wide, okay? Condense the formation and make those guys get off of you so that you can create some separation, even – it may even be a good situation for a quick bubble screen just to get it out of your hand, you know. And then the other thing is when Patrick Mahomes is sitting in the pocket and he looks over and he sees Adoree Jackson 10 yards off the ball, sometimes he just raises up and throws it to his wide receiver out there.
Mm-hmm.
Why don't we do that with A.J. Brown?
Yeah, Chip used to do that with Deshaun a lot, and this team doesn't right now.
Because, yeah. I mean...
That should be an automatic.
Yeah.
It should just be they have that...
So, but that's what I'm saying.
Unspoken.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. When we talk about... Like, these are the types of football questions that I'd be asking Nick Sirianni.
All right, John's right. With that said, let's do what we do every day at this time.
The time is yours.
Can't wait.
Unlike everyone else, we actually check our voicemail. Tell us, what do you want to say? The time is yours.
Time's yours.
All right, Andy, you got your butt whooped yesterday. Well, it was actually competitive, but that's three in a row you've lost to the Eagles. After, I think you won, James, what, the first, like, five or something?
It was something like that. There wasn't quite that many, but he won the first few.
Yeah. All right, time's yours, brought to us by Xfinity Mobile, the sponsor of WIP's Xfinity Mobile Lounge. The Wi-Fi is booming. Unlock faster, secure speeds at home and on the go only from Xfinity Mobile. Let's hit it with timeshare.
Any win in this league is a good win, especially on the road. They're not playing their best ball, I don't think, especially, like you said, offensively. But 2-0, take it. Let's get this offense rolling. I did want to give a special shout-out to Travis Swift. You keep up the photo shoots, the podcast, and whatever other nonsense you're doing besides practicing catching the ball. Go Birds.
Wow. Look,
did you see
that.
The nonsense they did with her yesterday walking into the stadium?
No.
She comes walking in. They had a moving wall so you couldn't see her.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. Okay.
For Taylor Swift?
Yeah. Hmm. Yeah. Which she's walked into the stadium a million times, you know, over the 2 years. So it's really bizarre.
The NFL needs to give it a freaking rest already, okay? Don't nobody care that she's in the stadium. Can we move past that already? Can we, like, not have to, like... I'm so glad that he didn't score a touchdown yesterday, so we had to see her jumping around in the damn box.
Well, I didn't want to see her scoring a touchdown, but I'm a Tay-Tay fan. I mean, you know, I'll take more action on the screen. I got no problem with that.
Man, get you a screenshot. It'll last longer, Joe.
First of all, stop crying about the brotherly shove. You're worried about a play that's designed to get 1 or 2 yards. Everyone can do it. They just can't. Get over it. Second of all, the Chiefs' run is over. They shouldn't have been in the Super Bowl last year. If you looked at all their wins last year, they were on fluke plays near the end of the game that got them wins. So enough with the Chiefs. They are done.
Yeah, they're in trouble. All right, James, I'm going to do something that's tough to do. Time's yours. Fast-moving segment. I'm going to ask Seth the question and find out if we get an answer in 6 seconds. Here we go. Seth. Will the tush push be banned after this season?
Never.
Okay.
Here we go again. Let's create a controversy. A.J. Brown is mad. Let's turn him against Jalen. Let's turn him against the head coach. Right on cue. Totally predictable.
Well, I'm sure he is not happy, but, you know, he's saying the right things, but I don't think he's happy.
Please let's not make the narrative that Jalen only had 100 yards passing. We're in week 2 of our preseason. Same as every year. It'll get better. It'll get better down the road. We're a championship team. Defense is tough, and we're 2-0, baby.
So I'm with you on the 2-0. Here's my pushback on it, though. The other teams aren't going full tilt in preseason either, and the Eagles beat two teams that I think both will probably miss the playoffs and had receivers on the other team caught the balls that they should have caught. Eagles could have been 0-2.
But now, we're not.
No,
we are 2-0. We are winning these games.
I understand.
Yet somehow not getting complete credit.
Well, it was more about Kelsey dropping the ball than Makuba catching it. I mean, God bless him. But, I mean, that should have been a touchdown. Right?
So stop
okay,
it,
man. It should have been a touchdown.
Come off. Back and okay. Win the game anyway.
I'll stop it. Grandma, but we'll wait until week 6 for me and Seth to duke it out.
Grandma should have been grandpa, but guess what?
Yeah, I know. So,
okay.
So, yeah, I know.
All right,
and with that, time's yours. We shut it down.
The Time's Yours line. Leave Joe and John a message of your thoughts, compliments, and complaints. Call 215-238-4500.
I'm just happy Grandmom and Grandpa got together, because if not, there's no Joe, and there's no Seth, and there's no John, and there's no James, and there's no Rhea.
True. That one call is so spot on. You know, I got in an argument with somebody on here last year when I called the Philadelphia fan base ungrateful. You know, if this isn't like an example of it, you know, your team just won the Super Bowl. They just won the Super Bowl, okay? And your team is 2-0. And all we do is sit around and bitch and complain about, you know, oh, you know, the offense looks terrible and, you know, the defense is young and the team is not the same as it was last year. Of course, it's not the same team. Okay?
They're better.
I don't think they're better. We don't know that yet.
Yeah.
They're going to be better.
They're better than I thought they'd be. That's for sure.
Well, they're going to be better, man.
They were number one last year. I mean, it's hard to be better than
does
that.
It, okay, ahead, hold on.
No, wait,
doesn't
whoa, whoa,
it count
whoa,
for
whoa,
something
whoa, whoa,
that this whoa, 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 team
listen,
and
there we go. First time this year, we're getting into it.
They were not, okay, a good defense last year this time.
So we're better.
Yeah, they weren't a good defense last year at this time. That's true.
They didn't find their footing until week 6.
Around when the Saints game when they shut them down?
It was week 6 after the bye.
They beat the Giants 28-3.
They were 2-2. They took Cooper DeJean, put him in, took Avante Maddox out, and the defense took off from that point on, okay? So if people think that after 5 months off, okay, that this football team, this defense should be ready, the offense should be humming, come on, man.
Yeah.
It's early in the season.
Let's be realistic. And by the way, yesterday...
Give Vic a chance to take these young players and bring them along and they are so much further ahead of where they were.
I agree.
Okay, I'm with you. So let's relax and enjoy the ride, man. Your team is 2-0.
Defensively, they're way ahead of where they were.
Let's stop trying to make a narrative about our quarterback, because especially in the city, okay? Because he's going to get his ass roasted on a national level. Freaking Chase Daniels yesterday put his storyline up. Oh, you know, Jalen Hurts, you know, 100 yards, blah, 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 blah. And you know what I put up right on there? I retweeted it, you know, but they got the win. That's all that matters. Shut the hell up.
All right, let's listen to Jalen one more time with a similar comment to Chris Jones. And this was great after, right as the game's winding down, a kneel down. Let's listen to Jalen and Chris Jones.
2-0 start to this season. Meanwhile, the Chiefs are about to start 0-2 and hand Patrick.
Strong. All right, look, we got a lot up ahead this season with Seth every Monday, obviously 9 to 10. Ray on Mondays, 7:55.
Gosh, quick, man. You know what? See, this is the problem with sports today.
Uh-oh.
Because in my day, when you looked up at the clock and your ass was kicked, you shut your damn
Chris
mouth.
Chris Jones was a bozo for saying that.
Embarrassing.
That is embarrassing.
You shut your mouth.
I agree, Seth.
Because, you know, you just got beat for the third time.
I hear you, man.
And I don't understand this. Shut the hell up. Don't nobody care about stats. And maybe we've just entered the
Twilight Zone.
Maybe we entered the twilight zone of sports where, you know, people are so concerned with fantasy football. People are so pissed about that. That's what it is. You got all of these wide receivers and this running back with 2,000 yards, and people are pissed because they've drafted these players and they're not getting the numbers. Shut the hell up.
Here's ding, ding, ding.
Here's my final comment. 60-year-old Seth Joyner could whoop the ass of 30-year-old Chris Jones. And that's a fight I'd like to say. Ladies and gentlemen.
I ain't fighting nobody.
Hey, Birds got the W 2-0. We'll be talking more about it tomorrow. Have a great day. Hey, by the way, congrats to the Phillies, the playoffs. Hopefully tonight they get the division.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.